Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
But I'm going to go through the lesson very quickly, and because it's running kind of late. That's okay. We are continuing our book series based on the book by Michael Singer called Living Untethered. And it's the companion to The Untethered Soul. Many of you are in the home study groups, and I don't know, but maybe you're like me, where you go, I don't know if I agree with everything in this book. I don't know if I understand everything in this book. But one thing you got to give this book is it starts conversations. In the last several weeks, we've explored where our thoughts come from. Who is the thinker that thinks our thoughts? We've discovered that we have two different minds. We have a human mind, which is essentially controlled by ego, and what we call the mind with a capital M, which receives divine ideas and is the thinker that comes from source. We're going to talk a little bit deeper about that today. To give you a refresher, the human mind, as I said, is essentially controlled by ego. Now, ego is not a bad thing. I know many of us have heard all through our lives that, oh, we got to get rid of the ego. No, that would not work. The ego is what allows us to have a human experience. Without it, we could not be here in the physical form doing what we do, growing and evolving. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, be in the world, but not of the world. The ego mind allows us to be in the world. Divine mind takes us to the higher level. Both are very important. The ego's only job is safety. Its purpose is to keep us alive, to keep us alert for threats, be they mental, emotional, physical. That's its job. Last week, we talked about power. And when the ego thinks that we are lacking in power, we're, by the way, never lacking in spiritual power. And by spiritual power, I don't mean the kind. I mean the kind that empowers us to live life to the fullest, empowers us to grow, empowers us to heal, empowers us to help others around us have life and have it to the fullest. But when ego says we're lacking in that power, you don't have it, or you don't have enough, we go looking for it in all the wrong places. That could be a country song. Looking for power in all the wrong places. And ego goes on to the defensive. It becomes aggressive. It becomes antagonistic. It may become grandiose or victim mentality, whatever is necessary to ensure our safety and to ensure what in that case is the illusion of power. And of course, we know that does not work, not for any great length of time. So how then do we shift that into a different understanding? Well, we begin to look at the mind's job. What is it that mind really is created to do? Well, first, we have to lift up our consciousness to the point where we understand that it is under the authority and power of spirit and controlled by a quickened mind. A quickened mind was a phrase that Charles Fillmore used quite often, and it literally meant to be one that is increased in vibration so that it is operating at a higher level, what we would call the Christ level. The human mind also stores memories. It determines our responses to outer stimuli based on past experiences and memories. It interprets ideas and makes them fit our own experience. And it can receive and interpret divine ideas of creation and bring them into manifestation through the filter of our human mind. But the important thing to know is that every human being that has ever been created and ever will be created, as far as I know, has access to a higher mind. We may call it divine mind. We may call it super consciousness. We may call it God mind or Uber mind or any phrases that are out there. But whatever we call it, It is the point that you could call it the rainbow connection. It connects us to the mind that created the universe. Science is proving over and over and over again that there is a source of thought beyond the human brain. Who is the thinker that is thinking me? There is proof that ideas, creative ideas, flow in from a source somewhere outside of us and within us at the same time. In Teach Us to Pray, Charles and Cora Fillmore wrote the following. The relation of our mind to creative mind may be likened to a radio station. I'm paraphrasing, putting it into more modern terms. This was written in the 1920s. The relation of our mind to creative mind may be likened to the relation of a radio set to a broadcasting station. As we must tune our radio so that it will pick up the waves from the proper broadcasting station, so we have to acquire the ability to tune our mind to divine mind so that we may learn by spiritual understanding the truth ideas that exist eternally in divine mind. In other words, at our highest level of intellectual functioning, we receive and interpret creative ideas and bring them into expression in our lives. Or we ignore them and we just go on as we always have. That is why, like in our meditation today, I said, create an image of the world we want. Now, there's more work to do after you create that image, but that is the first step. Everything starts in imagination. What image are we creating in our imagination of the world we want? The world that does exist in divine mind. And we can create from that place or through ego mind, which ego mind is very personal. It's about our own individual safety. Or we can expand and realize that when we say our own individual safety, we mean our own, the species of humanity, and even extend it beyond that to all life and all creation. I believe that is the shift that is happening in the world right now. We're seeing a lot of people awakening to that understanding that the I is everything. There is only one presence, only one power, and we're all a piece of it. The person in ego sense consciousness thinks they have the mind of their own and creates thoughts from our own understanding, which sometimes, actually quite often, causes us to create a mess. And you all heard last week what happens when we create a mess? We create a mess. The good news is, though, even when we create a mess, because we created the mess, we can fix it. We can create something different. We can create a new reality. I believe even the big issues we face today, homelessness, food insecurity, global climate change, can be changed and changed quickly if we can get to that level of thinking that there is more than enough, that we live in an abundant universe, that we are a channel of supply, an energy to flow through and from. But to change that, to get to that higher level of consciousness, we have to then take a look at our beliefs. We have many different kinds of beliefs. We have those beliefs that are ingrained to us from the moment we are born, maybe even in the womb itself. These ideas, these beliefs come from our parents, our culture. They may include religious beliefs, beliefs about the nature of life and creation, beliefs about our individual self, and familial beliefs, which may incorporate religion and politics. Oh, I said the P word. They may believe. Then we have beliefs from our own experience. These are the ones we create based on our interactions with others, our interactions with our environment, and with our experiences. And by and large, these beliefs are not the truth. They are the truth of what we are experiencing and how we are interpreting life in the moment, but they are not the truth with a capital T. They feel true. We declare they are true, but they are temporary. They change, they evolve as our own understanding changes and evolves. And then we have to look at the third leg of this stool, emotions. It is said that emotions are the outworking of our thoughts and beliefs. The outworking of our thoughts and beliefs. The outer expression and response to various stimuli. Now, there are some ideas that the author has in the book that we may or may not agree with. And some of those ideas may actually trigger us. That's an emotion. And I kind of wonder if the author's intent was not to do that. Was to get us to think, to get us to look at a deeper level. To get us to question. Well, this series, the author in this book talks about living untethered. It being not attached. Not attached to our thoughts. Not attached to our emotions. Not attached to our behavior. Now, non-attachment has some baggage. Because we hear that and we think of the Buddhist tradition. And the Buddhist tradition is very much about non-attachment. But we in the West don't really understand that because it's from a different culture. The real deep teaching of that is to not be attached to thoughts, to emotions, to behaviors, to outcomes, so that we can be untethered, so that we can rise to new levels of understanding, new levels of expression. You know, the human-controlled thinking organ that we call the brain is always working. It's always working like a computer that's, well, most times computers always work. We had some challenges with that this morning. But like a computer, it is programmed to constantly be processing and responding to data input based on its programming. That's important. Thus, we often have thoughts that we interpret as negative. And it is really quite difficult to not have those thoughts. Anybody ever tried it? Yeah, anybody remember that a couple years ago there was that living in a complaint-free world and every time you complained you had this rubber band you were supposed to snap on your wrist? I don't know how many of you had really sore wrists. No matter how conscious we try to be, you know, we live on one level in that human world. But non-attachment allows us to say, okay, that was a complaint. That is not the truth. I let that go. We don't put the brain down for having thoughts. We bless those thoughts and we release them. We see those thoughts for what they are. The output created by the brain channeling energy along resonant series of synapses. Got that? There will be a test later. Oh, some of you are getting a message from your ego brain. Uh-oh, a test? Oh, I don't like tests. Let it go. It's okay. I'm just joking. Non-attachment allows us to figuratively pronounce and observe without empowering those thoughts. We have them. It's normal. Let them go. We don't give them power. We do not turn them into actions and behaviors. And when we do that, when we can let them go and be non-attached, it frees us. It frees us to almost like figuratively step aside and observe. Oh, that's an interesting thought. I wonder where that came from. Maybe I can just not give it any energy. Or maybe I can reprogram it and redirect it so that it is productive and positive. Now, this is not unique to the Buddhist teachings. Jesus taught the same thing. Even in the Old Testament, there's passages that refer to the same thing when we can understand what they were saying in their time, language, and culture. So we've been kind of cerebral the last couple minutes. I'm going to move it into a more spiritual mind. Jesus drew from Judaic mysticism, which at its core is the same as Buddhist mysticism, Hindu mysticism, every mysticism that has ever existed, and is the core of all the outer thing that we call religion. There's a big difference between religion and spirituality. We call ourselves a spiritual center because we are working to get beyond religion. Religion is ego-centric creation. It is created by the human brain based on somebody's understanding at some point in time of what was being said and their interpretation. Sometimes it was the best they had at the time. It was the understanding. Sometimes it was twisted and changed for political reasons or reasons of control. Spirituality says, what were these great teachers really honestly saying? So let's go back and look at some of the sources of these ideas. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, most people interpret that, trust in this guy in the sky with a beard on a cloud, and he'll come down and fix everything or send his son down and fix everything. What they were saying, though, the original Proto-Canaan word, which eventually became Lord, didn't mean what it means today. To put it into more modern terminology, it would say this, trust in divine mind and do not lean on the thinking of the human mind. Trust in God mind, divine mind, whatever you want to call it, because that is where truth is. We could go to John 3:16, what I call the football verse, because you always see somebody at a football game with John 3:16. I can do a whole lesson on that one. Traditionally, it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Boy, that's one that's gotten forgotten. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Well, let's put that into more modern language and look at maybe a different interpretation. Maybe it's what Jesus was really, really saying, or John, I mean. For God is the world, and its only begotten creation is truth, so that all who will align with that truth shall have life unlimited. There is no negativity in that truth, and all is possible through it. Okay, maybe it's not as poetic, but it takes it to a deeper level. It takes it to a level of something that, oh, I actually am part of this. I am actually a channel for change. I'm actually a channel for this. I'm actually a channel for life unlimited when I align myself to that high vibration of thought. We could say that every true idea or answer is available to us right here and right now when we detach, untether, let go of lower mind and allow divine mind to work through us. One more, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Still, I put it into modern terms, still the thinking mind and open to divine mind. Divine mind overrules the nations of human thought and raises us to a higher vibration. Where are the nations of human thought? Right up here. You have nations of thoughts. You have thoughts about health. That's a nation. You have thoughts about love. That's a nation. You have thoughts about poverty or wealth. Those are nations of thoughts. You have thoughts about diversity. You have thoughts about acceptance. You have thoughts about giving and being in the flow. Those are all nations of thoughts. So what happens then when we begin to detach our human mind, we open up to the ability to release old destructive beliefs and come into a higher belief, a higher understanding about ourselves, our experiences, about others, and about reality. And that is when reality takes a turn in a new direction. We can realize that what we have been experiencing is not the entirety. It is not never ending, and it is not uncontrollable. It's simply what we are experiencing in the moment. And by becoming non-attached to that, we open the door. We do as, like Don Miguel Ruiz said in his book, The Four Agreements, we stop taking things personally so that we may become the person we are meant to be. Next week, we're going to be talking about the heart-mind. Science has proven that the heart has intelligence, that there is a thinking organ behind the heart that we never knew existed until about 20 years ago. So we are setting the groundwork to to releasing everything this has been attached to so that we can begin thinking with this. And that is when we will change the world, for the heart is the gateway to higher vibration. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.